Like the office they commemorate, presidential libraries are living institutions. Certainly, it is my hope that the Reagan Library will become a dynamic intellectual forum where scholars interpret the past and policymakers debate the future.
Welcome to a Reagan Forum, hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. The Center for Public Affairs offers lectures and forums presenting perspectives on important public policy issues of the day, from politicians, authors, members of the media, business and military leaders, and more. Just a few days ago, the nation celebrated April Fool's Day. Although the day has been celebrated for several centuries by different cultures, its exact origins remain a mystery. Some historians speculate that April Fool's Day dates back to 1582, when France switched from the Julian calendar, which begins its new year around April 1st, to the Gregorian calendar, which begins its new year on January 1st. People who were slow to get the news or failed to recognize that the start of the new year had moved to January 1 and continued to celebrate it during the last week of March through April 1 became the butt of jokes and hoaxes and were called April Fools. Today's become a day for pranks, hoaxes, and jokes. And no one loved a good joke more than President Reagan. So we thought we'd spend today's Reagan Forum podcast celebrating the best of President Reagan and his humor. We're going to start with a podcast we put together a few years ago that talked about how and why he used humor. Let's listen.
Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also, I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Ronald Reagan's sense of humor, wrote presidential biographer Lou Cannon, was a key to his character, and his willingness to poke fun at himself a vital component of his popularity. In this podcast, we take a look at how President Reagan used humor to ease a crowd and to make a point, and to have fun while doing it. President Reagan never ceased to poke fun of his own age. He joked he was as old as Moses, that he knew some of our founding fathers, and that every birthday was an anniversary celebration of his 39th birthday.
Now, I know that a lot of you have been having some fun with my advancing years. You even tied my recent surgery to my age. Well, I gotta be honest with you. I had that same operation when I was young, and it felt so good I wanted to have it done again before I was too old.
In his memoirs, President Reagan wrote that his time in Hollywood, and specifically his time touring the country for General Electric, became an apprenticeship for someone who'd someday enter public life. But that didn't stop him from poking fun of his Hollywood side either.
You know, when I first started in my present job, I'd sometimes put together in my mind my own dream cabinet. You know, John Wayne as Secretary of State, Clint Eastwood at Defense, Jack Benny as Secretary of Treasury, Groucho Marx at Education.
While we know that he quipped, kidded, and bantered in nearly every White House meeting, he also used humor to express very fundamental ideas. For example, in the 1980 campaign, when seeking to find the right metaphor to illustrate our nation's current economic crisis, Ronald Reagan himself drafted this line: "A recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose yours. And recovery is when Jimmy Carter loses his." And the jokes didn't stop on Pennsylvania Avenue. A few weeks after the inauguration, President Reagan delivered remarks at the annual salute to Congress. Not a particular fan of this body of government, the newly christened president nonetheless graciously accepted the invitation and, during remarks, joked,
"I can define middle-aged. That's when you're faced with two temptations and you choose the one that'll get you home at 9 o'clock.
This reminds me of a story. It was a famous line President Reagan used in many of his speeches to lead into a joke. He could tie any event into a fun, lighthearted story.
Speaking of horses reminds me of a story. When you're my age, everything reminds you of a story. Seems that this fellow was a great racing fan and was planning to go to the races on the weekend. And then for three nights straight, he dreamed of the number 5. So when he got to the track, he took that program and he went right to the 5th race and looked down to the 5th horse. And there it was, and the horse was named 5x5. So he saved his bundle till that race, and he bet it all on that race. And sure enough, the horse came in 5th.
Even in the face of adversity, President Reagan was able to use humor to put people at ease. During the 1981 assassination attempt on his life, with an assassin's bullet just millimeters from his heart, President Reagan used his unique, God-given skill to convey calm and assurance to those desperately working to save his life when he looked at his doctors just prior to surgery and joked, "I hope you are all Republicans." And of course, to his beloved wife Nancy, "Honey, I forgot to duck." While recovering post-surgery, he even wrote a note to one of his nurses saying, "If I had this much attention in Hollywood, I would have stayed there."
The society we heard from is made up of millions of compassionate Americans and their children from college age to kindergarten. As a matter of fact, as evidence of that, I have a letter with me. The letter came from Peter Sweeney. He's in the second grade in the Riverside School in Rockville Center. And he said, "I hope you get well quick, or you might have to make a speech in your pajamas." And he added a postscript. "P.S., if you have to make a speech in your pajamas, I warned you."
A handful of years ago, we put together a YouTube clip montage of some of our favorite Ronald Reagan jokes and moments. It's one of our most watched videos, with over 7.5 million views as of the time of this recording.
I just want to... Oh, I can't resist. I'm supposed to quit right here. But, oh yes. But in view of the fast things that I just said, I don't know whether you know it or not, but I have a new hobby. I am collecting stories that I can actually prove are told among the Russian people. They make them up themselves. They tell them between themselves. Reveals they got a great sense of humor. And they've also got a little cynical attitude about things in their country. And one of these stories, the one I'm going to tell you, I told to General Secretary Gorbachev. And he laughed. The story was an American and a Russian arguing about their two countries. And the American said, "Look, in my country, I can walk into the Oval Office, I can pound the president's desk and say, 'Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running our country.'" And the Russian said, "I can do that." The American said, "You can?" He says, "Yes. I can go into the Kremlin, to the general secretary's office, pound his desk and say, 'Mr. General Secretary, I don't like the way President Reagan's running his country.'"
Speaker, Mr. President, distinguished members of the Congress, honored guests, and fellow citizens. Today marks my first State of the Union address to you, a constitutional duty as old as our republic itself. President Washington began this tradition in 1790 after reminding the nation that the destiny of self-government and the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty is finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. For our friends in the press who place a high premium on accuracy, let me say, I did not actually hear George Washington say that.
I can define middle-aged. That's when you're faced with two temptations and you choose the one that'll get you home at 9 o'clock. Story of a realtor who was out driving on a back road on his way to look at some property and suddenly noticed down beside him was a chicken keeping pace with him, and he was doing 60 miles an hour. And suddenly the chicken spurted out ahead of him, and it looked to him as if the chicken had three legs. And then it turned and went down a side road and into a barnyard, and the driver turned down that lane, drove into the barnyard. There was a farmer there, and he asked him, he said, "Did you see a chicken go by here?" And the farmer said, "Yep." He says, "Did it have three legs?" And the farmer says, "Yep. I raise them that way. I breed them." He says, "You do?" He says, how come?" "Well," he said, "I just love the drumstick, and Ma always liked the drumstick, and now Junior's come along, and he likes it, and we just got tired of fighting over it. So I've been breeding three-legged chickens." And the driver said, "Well, How do they taste? He says, I don't know. I haven't been able to catch one yet. Now, there's nothing I enjoy more than a little country humor. One of the great things about having you here is that I get to tell a farm joke. Now, first, I need a setting, but Rick, you're from Kansas, right?
You bet.
Okay, this takes place in Kansas. was an old Kansas farmer there. He had a piece of creek bottom land that had never been developed at all. It was all rocks and brush and all messed up. And he started in on it, clearing it, the underbrush, and hauling away the rocks, then cultivating the soil there. And he planted a garden, everything from vegetables on to corn. And it really became a garden spot. And he was pretty proud of what he'd done. So one Sunday morning in church after the service, he asked the preacher if he wouldn't stop by to have a look. Well, the preacher arrived, and he took one look, and he said, oh, this is wonderful. He said, these are the biggest tomatoes I've ever seen. Praise the Lord. He said, those green beans, that squash, those melons. He said, the Lord really has blessed this place. And look at the height of that corn. He said, the God has really been good. And the old boy was listening to all this, and he was getting more and more fidgety, and finally he blurted out, Reverend, I wish you could have seen it when the Lord was doing it by himself. And as he was falling, grabbed a limb sticking out the side of the cliff and looked down 300 feet to the canyon floor below, and then looked up and said, Lord, if there's anyone up there, give me faith. Tell me what to do. And a voice from the heavens said, if you have faith, let go. He looked down at the canyon floor and then took another look up and says, is there anyone else up there? I've always thought of the importance of communication and how much a part it plays in what you and I, what all of us are trying to do. And one day, a former place kicker with the Los Angeles Rams, who later became a sports announcer, Danny Villanueva, told me about communications. He said he'd been having dinner over at the home of a young ball player with the Dodgers. The young wife was bustling about getting the dinner ready. They were talking sports, and the baby started to cry. And over her shoulder, his busy wife said to the ball player, change the baby. And he was a young fella, and he was embarrassed in front of Danny, and he said, what do you mean, change the baby? I'm a ball player. That's not my line of work. And she turned around, put her hands on her hips, and she communicated. She said, look, Buster, you lay the diaper out like a diamond. You put second base on home plate. You put the baby's bottom on the pitcher's mound. You hook up first and third, slide home underneath, and if it starts to rain, the game ain't called. You start all over. There aren't any words that can properly tell you how bittersweet these days are. And the things that we would like to say to all of you. You know, I keep remembering back and not too far when someplace along the line there would always be a picture of a president standing in the Oval Office looking out the window, usually the picture from behind, and he's standing there. And then his words are quoted as a tag for that picture about, this is the loneliest place, and what a lonely, and so forth. I don't know about them. I haven't been lonely 1 minute.
More jokes and humor from President Reagan after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit ReaganFoundation.org/give. That's ReaganFoundation.org/give.
Now back to our podcast. The last segment we will play is a more recent clip montage we put together for our YouTube channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have given me a welcome that is so heartwarming, it's something I will remember always. In addition, if I had no such reasons at all to be happy about the form of the greeting and the introductions and all here tonight, I could be grateful because every once in a while being introduced, I get self-conscious when they begin to introduce me and start mentioning the pictures that I've been in. Now, I don't mean that I'm ashamed of them, but everyone who's been around Hollywood for any length of time has been in some movies that the studio didn't want them good, it wanted them Thursday. And I've had my share, but in the old times, you usually could count on the passing years making you forget those pictures. Now you just stay up late enough at night in front of the TV set and they all come back to haunt us. Sometimes I think it's like looking at a sun you never knew you had.
I'm honored to join you for this traditional ceremony commemorating the founding of the Marine Corps 211 years ago. If I was talking about my own birthday, I would be using a different term here and referring to this as the 172nd anniversary of your 39th birthday.
The strength of the Solidarity movement in Poland demonstrates the truth told in an underground joke in the Soviet Union. It is that the Soviet Union would remain a one-party nation even if an opposition party were permitted, because everyone would join the opposition party.
I think it was inevitable, though, that there'd be a standoff between us. Imagine one Irishman trying to corner another Irishman in the Oval Office. But despite all this, Tip wanted me here. He said that since it was March 17th, it was only fitting that someone dropped by who actually had known St. Patrick. And that's true, Tip. I did know St. Patrick. In fact, we both changed to the same political party at about the same time. You know, hearing these wonderful young men from Wheaton College here took me down memory lane a little bit, because some years ago, before they were born, and possibly before some of their fathers were born, I played football against Wheaton College. And it's kind of nice that I can say here, if one of them asked me, it ended in a tie game. The risk of sounding facetious, I just want to say here in this room, and as it's been so eloquently stated by the people who've spoken already about the uniqueness of how all of us from so many different heritages have come together here in the name of that one man. I have long been unable to understand the atheist in this world of so much beauty. And I've had an unholy desire to invite some atheists to a dinner and then serve the most fabulous gourmet dinner that has ever been concocted. And after dinner, ask them if they believed there was a cook.
There was a man knocked on a door one day, and a small boy answered, and the man said, "Son, is your father home?" And the boy said, "No." Said, "Is your mother home?" And the boy said, "No." And finally he said, "Well, son, I'm your uncle on your father's side." And the kid said, "Well, I guess you can come in, but I'll tell you right now, you're on the wrong side."
Kareem says that yesterday's victory was just like the Brooklyn Dodgers' breakthrough against the Yankees in the 1955 World Series. Well, Kareem, I remember that series, so I think you may be, as they sometimes say of me, showing your experience. With this great reception you've given me and the way this Republican wagon train is rolling, it's hard to believe that once upon a time to be a Republican around here felt a little bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. You know, know, I remember a story of a fellow who was down in, kind of in the ranch and farm area. Here he was running for office as a Republican. This was some years ago. Came by a farm, saw a fellow out there, saw at least get in a lick with him. And when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, wait right here while I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before. So we went to get her. And the candidate, looking around, thought, well, when I come back, I'll give him a little Republican speech. But he couldn't find any platform. Well, the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. Yeah. So he got up on the mound. There he was when they came back, and he made his little speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, that's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech. And the candidate said, that's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform. Well, all that, as they say, is history. Or should I say ancient history, which at my age is a subject that I'm regarded as an expert in.
Could I set the stage for just a second and explain that when you did a baseball game by telegraphic report, that meant you weren't at the ballpark looking at the game. You were sitting at a studio desk, the microphone in front of you and a glass window here and a little slit under it, and there was a fellow on the other side of that window with a telegraph key hearing those dots and dashes, and then he would type and send a slip of paper through to you. And you'd take it, and it would say maybe S1C. Well, you can't sell many Wheaties yelling S1C. So you'd say, Dean comes out of the windup, here comes the pitch, and it's a called strike breaking over the outside corner to a fellow that boys are ball of it. Well, this particular story that I have been dragooned into telling happened in a Cubs and Cardinal game, which in the Midwest is really drama. It was the ninth inning, the score tied, and Billy Jurgis at the plate. And I saw my friend Curly on the other side of the window start to type, and so I had Dean start his windup, and I had a ball on the way to the plate, and Curly was shaking his head no. I thought it must be something sensational that's happened there, and he handed me the slip of paper and said, the wire has gone dead. Well, I had a ball on the way to the plate. And there's only one thing you can do that won't get in the record, so I had Jurgis foul one off down to the left. And I looked, Curly just shrugged. And I thought, you know, in those days, you didn't have an announcer for a team for the game. There'd be a half a dozen of us on different stations doing that same game. So I knew that if I suddenly said there's going to be a delay, and we don't know what's going on at Wrigley Field, everybody'd switch to another station. So I took a chance, and I had Jurgis foul one over back at first base. And Curly's still sitting slumped there waiting. So then I had him foul one down to the left that just missed being a home run by a foot outside of the pole. Then he fouled one back into the stands, and I described the fight that two kids put up that tried to get the ball. And this went on until I was beginning to set, if there is such a thing, a world record for a fellow standing at the plate hitting successive foul balls. And I knew that I had to keep on. If I now said the wire has gone dead, they'd know that I'd been faking on all of these foul balls. So I had him foul them in a few more directions. In the meantime, I had Dizzy Dean out on the mound to and stepping back and using the rosin bag and shaking off the sign and getting another sign so that it'd take up time. And all of a sudden, Curly sat up straight and started to type. And I thought, here we go. And he's handed me the slip of paper, and I started to giggle. It said, Jurgis popped out on the first ball pitched.
The last campaign found our opponents presenting themselves as conservatives, in the sense that they would make no drastic change in our easy, prosperous, and affluent way. They would maintain the status quo. That's Latin for the mess we're in.
But just a few weeks ago, we had a visitor in our land, the President of France and his wife, Madame Mitterrand. And in the White House at the state dinner, Nancy was accompanying the president. I was accompanying Mrs. Mitterrand into the dining room, everyone standing around the tables. And Nancy and the president stayed on this side of the room, and Mrs. Mitterrand and I started the other side of the room. And I tell this just as an example of how close you can come to a diplomatic crisis. Suddenly, Madame Mitterrand stopped, and we had the room to cross in. And I leaned forward to tell her that we were to go on over there. And the butler ahead of her was motioning her on. And she said something very quietly and calmly over her shoulder to me in French, which I did not understand. And again, I gave the signal, and again, she repeated what she said to me. And then the interpreter caught up with us and told me what she was saying. I was standing on her gown. She couldn't move.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast and found yourself smiling and laughing along. You can find all of the videos of the audio you just heard on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Reagan Foundation. To find a listing of all upcoming events, please visit reaganfoundation.org/events. Thank you for listening.
For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit reaganfoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Until next week, thanks for listening. God bless you.
Don't forget to subscribe to A Reagan Forum podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of A Reagan Forum come out every Thursday. Like what you hear? Check out our Words to Live By podcast featuring radio addresses and speeches Ronald Reagan delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. New episodes drop every Tuesday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.